You are listening to the Battle Born Libertarian Podcast, the official podcast of the Libertarian Party of Nevada. Here's your host, Tyus France.
Hi, everybody. Thank you for tuning into the Battle Born Libertarian Podcast, your place for really anything revolving around the Libertarian Party in the state of Nevada, all things that might be. I guess we would cover economics, we cover social liberties, we cover the politics of it. And sitting across from me is my co-host, Alex. Thanks for being here.
Love to be here. Thanks, Tyus.
I would love to say we are recording on the day that makes this topic so appropriate. 420 has passed, has come and gone. But today we're going to be talking all about the war on drugs. And I'm happy to announce that the war is over, the drugs won. I don't see it any other way. So we're gonna be digging into that. I think we just finished up when this is rolling. We finished up with our day of action, which is awesome. To all those that came out to support, we really, really appreciate you. And we want to encourage those who have not yet come out but are listening to please get involved. Head over to lpnevada.org to see when we're getting together and how you can contribute. If you want to, anything from volunteer, run for office, or even just come down and hang out with us, we'd appreciate your company. So let's dive in to really the United States' second big prohibition. The first being the prohibition of alcohol, which happened, oh, I don't know, I'm bad on dates, but a long time ago, long before I was born. But you know, I watched The Untouchables. I feel like I'm knowledgeable on that. And then now we are currently dealing with the war on drugs, which goes into, it goes into a lot of things. I think the biggest player in that right now is probably marijuana. But during both of these prohibitions, we have seen a dramatic increase in crime. And actually, unfortunately, we've seen murder go up in both situations, which is counterintuitive. I think When they said, you know what, nobody can have alcohol, the big reason for that was they're afraid that people are going to be drinking alcohol, that's going to make you lose your mind, and you're going to go out and hurt people. So the idea of banning it and seeing the crime increase is counterintuitive. Well, the same has applied with this war on drugs that was declared by, I believe, Reagan in 79. Boy, I'm shooting from the hip right here on dates. It's very dangerous. I could be wrong on all of that. But we saw the crime rate increase, and we wonder, well, how could that possibly be going on? What could be taking place there? And the answer is pretty simple. It's that when you control a market, when you decide to inflict control on a market, what you do is you create scarcity, and that scarcity creates increased demand, which then creates a black market, underground, and that's going to increase crime because people are going to try and gain control over those situations. And that is exactly what we have seen with the war on drugs. It's something that I was exposed to at a very young age. We can call it childhood indoctrination using DARE, the Drug Abuse Resistance Education Program, right? Something like that.
Yep. And I think everyone that grew up in the 90s got a big dose of that as well. A lot of misinformation. And I'm a little upset that misinformation continues. The Nevada Highway Patrol, which honestly puts out some pretty good social media, made the very bold, very incorrect claim that driving while impaired by marijuana is as dangerous as driving while impaired by alcohol. And I think they're really, first of all, driving while intoxicated by marijuana, it does limit, you know, it does have some effects. But alcohol is by and far the very worst drug. In terms of trying to drive, it completely suppresses your brain's ability to react to the things you need to react to when you're driving. So, I mean, it's just in every way ludicrous to me that they would, and then to say that you're going to be evaluated the same way as alcohol by blood test.
Yeah,
and it's like it's upsetting to me when the government spent our tax dollars to not educate us, because drug education I'm all about. I think that we should be telling students and young people what really those drugs will do to you. And we do that in some ways, but we also try to do it on a scared straight level where we give misinformation. And we've demonized marijuana so badly that as soon as people try marijuana and go, this isn't actually that bad, because it's not from a scientific standpoint. In fact, you can't even kill yourself with marijuana compared to alcohol and a lot of these other drugs. You can, absolutely.
Well, scared straight doesn't work. That's actually been shown over and over and over again that it doesn't work. But as far as educating people around specifically marijuana, that's a difficult thing to do. And the reason that's difficult to do is because marijuana is a Schedule I drug, it's incredibly difficult to do testing on it. The amount of hoops you've got to jump through to be able to do tests on it becomes almost impossible. Now, I know a lot of people go, well, oh, the Libertarian Party, well, that's all about, you know, that's all the hippies that do pot, and actually a lot of them are believed, those are all atheists, I've heard that before. They clump people in things. Well, I'll tell you right now, as a libertarian, I have never done marijuana. But also as a libertarian, I've never drank alcohol. So if you want to clump people in, realize that that's not necessarily the case. Now, the difference is, so it'd be very easy for me to say, well, people shouldn't do pot or drink alcohol, right? Because I don't. But the truth is, it's all about freedom. It all comes down to, should a person have the right to do what they want with their personal property? And does that personal property include their body? And I got to think, yes. I got to think, yeah, your body is your property. And yes, there's scary implications here, right? We can say, well, you legalize marijuana. What's the next thing we're going to do? We're going to legalize heroin, crack cocaine, arsenic? Like, well, you know what? If it is truly your body and you want to destroy it, who am I to stop you from doing that? Now, I'll try and help you out along the way. And I believe charities will open up in greater numbers to try and help you get off of drugs you don't want to be on if you might have some addiction to them. But in the case of marijuana specifically, it's pretty hard to get addicted to it. From what I understand, it's not psychological.
It's not addictive. It's not an physically addictive substance. Yeah.
Yeah, there's no physical addiction. It's similar to alcohol is one of those things too. Alcohol is technically not an addictive substance. There is Alcoholics Anonymous, but these are psychological conditioning situations. Yeah, but alcohol is more dangerous.
They're not fundamentally changing your brain chemistry. And that's something you will get from things like ecstasy, where you can become addicted because it will affect your brain's ability, your reward centers of your brain. And so I think educating people about the truths of drugs and how they're different, I think that that's a great and very noble cause. But when the government starts telling people that marijuana is this Schedule I terrible drug, it'll kill you, it's Satan, it's the gateway to all of these horrible things, and then they try it, because people go through their experimental phase or whatever, and they might try marijuana, and they realize this isn't bad at all. This is very relaxing. It is absolutely not true that it affects you in these heinous ways. It doesn't mean you're going to immediately go to cocaine.
Yeah.
But because we tell them it's so horrible, they start to think, well, maybe they lied about these other drugs too. The ones that are extremely psychoactive and addictive.
Look at caffeine. Look at the addictive properties of caffeine. It's tremendous as far as the addiction. Obviously, we know that it doesn't have massive physiological detriment that it has on us. But here's the thing. We also know marijuana doesn't have massive physical detriment that it causes on us.
And caffeine is deadlier than marijuana, because
alcohol is too.
You can consume an amount of caffeine that will kill you.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, Monster energy drinks are required to label, because they have such a high caffeine content, they're required to label like limit of 2 a day for the big cans.
Yeah.
Because that's how much caffeine they have. But if you were to you could inhale just a pound of marijuana.
I think the LD50, which is...
it's off the charts. Yeah,
lethal dose 50. So what that means is, like, if you were to take this a quantity of a substance and you gave that quantity to 1,000 people, 50% of them died. That's called the LD50, right? That's the 50% of them. It becomes a lethal dose. From what I understand, THC, it's something like truckloads to actually have a lethal an LD50 rate. It's basically impossible. The reason you would die from smoking marijuana would not be from the active ingredients in marijuana. It would be from the smoke. Like, you would die from some other ingredient of it long before you would die from the THC. It's just, it's not powerful enough. It doesn't hurt you. So that's just the marijuana thing. There are other drugs, but we can look at other effects this stuff has. So the war on drugs has cost over $1 trillion that we've been paying into and fighting. And we've been fighting a losing battle simply because the market adjusts to supply and demand. So if you take something off the market, the price simply goes up. And people get better at hiding it, which means we're going to have to spend more money to catch them. So it's a losing battle no matter how you play it. Now, in addition to that, incarceration has been atrocious. So in federal prisons, it's about 50% of every prisoner in a federal prison is from a drug offense. It's significantly lower on a state level, but it's still about 25%. And we lock up more of our citizens than any other country in the world, and yet we call ourselves the land of the free. And if this is happening at such a rate, and we can blame one source, we can say, you know what, this war on drugs is having the biggest contribution to it. I should also point out that in addition to these stats, 50% is for drug crime, 25% at the state level. Well, on top of that, 16 to 18% of people that are stealing money are saying they're doing it for drugs. So probably about half of our prisons are filled with people that are potentially nonviolent criminals based off of what they wanted to do with their own bodies. Could you imagine being locked up because you wanted to do something by yourself, to yourself? Let's say it's masturbation. If they just said, sorry, Matt, we have a war on masturbation now, and you enjoy doing that, and suddenly somebody says, nope, you are now a prisoner. We are going to take you and put you in a steel cage. And by the way, the only people you get to hang out with are going to be actual criminals. You're going to crime school. You're going to learn all about how to come out of prison and be a criminal. And we're going to make it very hard for you to get a job, so you're going to want to return to crime. And we're going to make it very hard for you you can't even vote in many cases, right? So this war on drugs has been a disaster when it comes to the crime rate. In fact, we have become the laughingstock of many countries based off of just the incarceration that's taken place from it.
Not to mention the fact that it disproportionately affects both the poor and other minorities, particularly people of color. Something like 3 times the sentence lengths for the same crime, you know, something like 3 times the number of convictions.
Wow.
By percentage. Obviously, the total number of white people, you know, white skin-colored people in America is such that, there's actually a total number of white people that are going to prison for drug-related crimes that is greater than blacks. But if you look at the percentage of the population, it's almost 3 times.
Yeah.
And it's sad to me to think that we've had U.S. presidents admit to using marijuana while they were younger, and they went on to become fucking president of the United States. But these other people, the ones that didn't come from rich white families, they're the ones that we decided to throw in prison for sometimes federal minimum sentencings of 10 years. They're spending 10 fucking years in prison. Maybe they get out 3 years early from good behavior. They've spent 7 years in prison. That's all they've known. They, whatever job skills and whatever connections they had have atrophied. They've learned only one thing, which is how to be a good prisoner and how to get by in prison. Is it any wonder that they have a hard time readjusting? And to make matters worse, people's families, you know, who wants to take in the criminal that just got out of 7 years of prison?
Yeah.
Who wants to feed him and clothe him because, or her, I suppose, because they can't get a job because of the fact that we label people as a felon. So even when they're out of prison, like you said,
not forgiven.
They're not forgiven. In my opinion, prison's time out. I mean, you don't come back from time out and then you're still grounded as well. That's what we do. It's like, you know, fuck you. We're going to throw you in prison for 10 years. And when you get out, you're not going to be able to return to a normal life. I mean, the idea of prison is that we're removing from you the most precious thing in every life, which is liberty. We're removing your freedom to do what you want, eat what you want, say what you want, sleep when you want, do it, you know, in every possible way. We remove you from an ability to have sex with those of the opposite sex. I mean, we take away almost every, you know, fundamental joy that you have. And that is punishment enough. And I
think that's excessive punishment. And we could probably do a whole episode just on the prison system.
Yeah. In fact, Wendy, our legislative director, is speaking in favor of a bill to abolish solitary confinement, which is even worse. I mean, you think it's bad enough. At least you have people that you can hang out with and interact with. But then you throw people in solitary confinement for sometimes years as punishment. It's not punishment. That's psychological torture. I mean, people literally lose most people lose their minds when they're by themselves for more than a year.
Well, they say that prison is supposed to be for rehabilitation, but we know that that's actually not what happens because of what they just get thrown right back in when they get released. But in addition to that, treatment costs $20,000 less per person per year when you're talking about somebody that was convicted of drug crimes. So it's not effective. It is incredibly expensive.
You'd think the right and the left would be coming together in a huge way to fight this. I mean, the Republicans are looking for ways to spend less money so they can spend more on their bombing of other countries. Democrats are looking for more money for social programs. Here you go. God, I almost wouldn't care as much. I mean, I would care, but I mean, fuck, let's spend that money on anything. The F-42 or whatever's coming out next,
almost,
rather than throwing people in prison for something that they wanted to do themselves. Yeah, or for growing a plant, or just possession. How sad is that? I could plant marijuana on you or cocaine. You get stopped at a traffic stop. There's no real court of law. There's no presumption of innocence. It's a crime simply to possess it.
Yeah,
and it's ridiculous.
I understand the idea of taking somebody's freedoms, which, by the way, in my book, is the worst thing you can do to somebody, right? The moment you take somebody's freedoms, they better have done something that warrants that kind of cruelty. And in my brain, I go, that must be they took somebody else's freedoms. That's the only thing I could justify it with.
Rape, child abuse, murder, of course. Those are things for which, yeah, they deserve not to be the masters of their own life anymore, because when we gave them that freedom, they didn't have the responsibility to leave other people alone and to let them live their lives.
Or maybe it's about us defending ourselves at that point. Like, there's some reasonable arguments for imprisonment in that situation. The idea of, I've got something the equivalent of a spice in my house, like that I have in my house.
And in some cases, people do buy dime bags of oregano, and it's pretty funny.
Yeah, and they're going to prison for as long as people are going to prison for vehicular manslaughter. Somebody is hitting somebody with a car to kill them, and another person has a plant or a mushroom or something like that in their car, and they'll go to prison for the same duration. It's crazy.
It is, especially when you look at the number of people who die. I mean, you have to completely, from a logical standpoint, and I know this is an emotionally charged issue, but you have to completely reject the argument that we've made drugs illegal because they're so dangerous that they'll kill our whole population and everyone's going to be addicted and no one's going to go to work. I mean, when you look at things like a car, which kill one of the top 10 killers in the United States, number one if you're in the 18 to 25-year-old age bracket. So we're looking at college students. Number one way they die, the number one, more than any other way, is from automobile accidents.
Yeah. I think it's the number one, like, really preventable one, except outside of, like, everything else is medical.
Yeah, everything else is you smoked forever and got lung cancer. You ate heart poorly disease. And you got heart disease. Yeah. And actually, unfortunately, suicide is one of the top ones as well. But I think that one of the reasons that that we have problems with these is that we're not willing to focus as a society on rehabilitation, something that costs a fraction of what it costs to incarcerate.
And couldn't we use – this gets into the prison thing, but couldn't we use rehabilitation on top of incarceration outside of even the drug thing? You know, like, there's so many things where we could look at it. There's so many situations where we can look at it and be like, you know what? Maybe they were stealing because they didn't have a means. They didn't have a skill set to get a job. Like, there's ways we could help heal people rather than just take their civil liberties from them. It's dramatic and scary to me.
It is, and I can't believe that, you know, it's basically you go from community service to prison. Yep. I mean, there's no real in between because we're not interested in that. I think that one of the things that people like to do is just shove the ones we don't like into a box, prison, and just pretend that they don't exist, right? And that's wrong. And I wish that people, I almost wish that people could spend a week in a prison just to realize how horrible it really is, just so they can get an idea of, are you willing to subject someone to that because they possessed an ounce of marijuana? Is it worth it? Is it really at the bottom of your heart? Because in my mind, if you kill someone with your car because and you were doing something that you shouldn't have been doing while you were driving, I mean, in my opinion, that constitutes a far that constitutes an actual crime. Whereas if you're sitting in your own home and you want to get high on ecstasy and melt into your couch, at least I'm told that's what it feels like, you know, go for it. Do it. It doesn't affect me.
That's a good sales pitch. I kind of want to try now. I'm melt, like, melt into the
that's
couch.
What one of my, okay, so one of my friends, and I, of course, for will keep him anonymous, but, you know, he has partaked of, sure. And it's funny because I think we're recording this while Coachella is going on, so it's kind of a funny, and I'm sure there's a lot of people melting into couches over there.
Sure.
But, you know, it's something that it was his choice, and who am I to tell him? I mean, I told him I thought that was silly because, you know, it does affect your brain chemistry. But, I mean, who am I to tell him, I'm gonna hire people with guns to lock you away from it because that's how dangerous it is. It's not that dangerous to him. It's not as dangerous as we're going to take 10 out of your 80 years on God's green earth. We're going to lock you into a prison. And if you don't comply, we're going to shoot you. That is what people have to start getting used to when they think about government intervention.
Well, maybe we should talk about the risks and the scares and stuff like that. There are drugs. Let's say we're on back on marijuana. There is laced marijuana that a lot of people don't know they might be taking. But those things are made possible. These unregulated drugs are made possible based off of the fact that, well, they're gone through the underground. There's actually no recourse that somebody could have. If they get tainted product, they can't bring that person in front of a court of law and say, hey, this person's been hurting others by selling something that they don't know what it is.
You can't sue your drug dealer, exactly.
Yeah. And the drug, I mean, the drug dealer's probably going to win. The drug dealer's probably armed to the teeth because they're disregarding the legal system completely. Not to say they don't have the right to be armed to the teeth. It's just that they're probably willing to use it in an unnecessary fashion. And yes, there are unsafe drugs, but it could be argued that the reason that the drugs are really unsafe and really untested, and we don't know the results of them or the impacts that they have, is based off of the fact that there's such a strong prohibition. There's also the argument that, well, you know, somebody is going to take this drug and then they're going to attack their neighbor. You're right. It's possible. It's totally, totally possible. But is the crime that they took the drug, or is the crime that they attacked their neighbor? Because they could attack their neighbor without the drug, right? They should be held responsible for the crime that they did against somebody else, not for the fact that what they're doing currently, which isn't harming anybody else, could maybe not lead to something else. That it's a ridiculous argument to say, you know, I'm going to take away all your freedoms. I'm going to prevent you from moving because if you have the right to move, you might be able to go to your neighbor and hurt them. Like, how restricted do you want to make people's lives to ensure safety is going to be there? At a certain level, you've got to trust somebody, or you've got to believe that somebody's individual rights is the fundamental, that's the smallest level of where we should be examining rights at. And by saying, well, we're only going to look at this as a community, we're only going to look at communal rights, well, then you miss the point. You miss that each individual person should have the right to own their own body. And if you just say, well, it's all in the best interest of society, well, then you're going to be disregarding that person's freedom and potentially ownership and property and all those other rights that I hold so dear and our founding fathers held so dear. Anyways, that's my rant, I think, on drugs.
Yeah, and I completely agree with you. It's honestly one of the most inhumane things we've ever done is to lock people up for trying to enjoy all the wonderful things that this life has to enjoy. And if you live in New York, now they're starting to move in on food. I mean, before you know it, they're going to be telling you have to. It's
didn't
like,
they just do that on sugar or something like that?
Yeah, they've limited the number of grams of sugar. Now, sugar is horrible for you.
Or there was some question. I just read something about like a sugar tax where they increased the tax on sugar and they watched as people's soft drink purchases dropped in this one little area, and everywhere outside of that area it increased dramatically because, of course, they're just going to drive over and buy it next door.
Yep. Yeah, it's sad. It's ridiculous. And it's the government, again, overreaching and telling you what you can do with your life. And it's not their fucking right. They don't have the right to tell you what you can do with your body because that makes you a slave. Honestly, that's what slavery is. slavery is not being able to do what you want to do so long as you're not harming other people. You know, that's freedom. And when the government takes that away from you, then what else do you have?
Well, you don't. That's that's the founding of this country was based off of the fact that we wanted our own freedom.
Yeah, we didn't want to have to pay the tea tax if we didn't want to. We at least wanted to say. Mm-hmm. And even though most of America thinks that marijuana should be legal today, our government is looking out for us and protecting us from making a really bad decision. It's like they don't care about the will of the people. They're bought off by alcohol lobbyists because that's legal. You can kill yourself all day and you can kill other people all day with alcohol. But if you want to smoke marijuana in the privacy of your own home, you better be in one of, I believe, 5 states.
Yeah.
Because otherwise, you're going to be fucking locked up for 10 years.
You know what? We should probably address that there are some drugs that are incredibly serious and incredibly deadly and can absolutely hurt you. And part of this journey and going down the path of saying people should have the right to do what they want with their body actually incorporates the idea that, yeah, somebody is allowed to take a drug that could kill them. That is their right. And in fact, you probably take drugs occasionally that could cause you serious harm. And you likely go to a doctor first and get a recommendation before you try something that's that serious, rather than turn to a black market to purchase it. Yeah, the demand's pretty low because the risk is incredibly high. And unless the return on your investment, unless the reward from that is going to improve your life in a measurable way, you probably stay away from it. I don't think that a great deal of our society, if you say suddenly meth is legal, I don't think the people that are not interested in meth are going to run out and go and grab a bunch of meth. And if the manufacturers are concerned about that, they could make it prescription only if they wanted to. They could make it so you need to see a doctor every 6 weeks and try and take it responsibly. But ultimately, it's your choice. It's your life. You should have the right to say what happens with your body, with your property, with your time, with your life. That is your right. Now, if you want to get involved in the Libertarian Party, and we really hope you do, please head over to lpnevada.org, where you can find all the events we're having. There's a lot of stuff taking place. We're incredibly active. If you want to get involved with the show, if you want to, you could be a guest on if you'd like, but you better have something great to say. If you want to get involved in the show, give us some feedback. Write us. It is podcast@lpnevada.org. You can also please leave us a review on iTunes, especially if you like the show. Then leave us a positive review. We're such a new show that each review, each rating has a massive weight. Please share the show with other people that you love and appreciate or that are like-minded, and promote the show for us, because the truth is, without you, without listeners, we're just sitting in a room talking to microphones and enjoying the company of my dog. So, Alex, where can our listeners find you?
Easiest way to find me is by messaging my page on Facebook, facebook.com/alexmd.liberty.
Wonderful. And if you want to track me down, you can find me on my website, tyusfrance.com, on Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter at tyusfrance. You can email me at tyus@lpnevada.org. But if it's podcast related and I don't see a reason why you wouldn't email me on the podcast one, well, then you head over and email me at podcast@lpnevada.org. Please get involved. If you'd like, run for office. If you'd like, volunteer. You are the one that's going to make the change. And until then, make it all about freedom.
This show is brought to you by the Libertarian Party of Nevada. Music is provided by T. Sims. Please support the show by subscribing, sharing it with friends, and leaving a positive review on iTunes. For more information or to learn how to get involved, visit lpnevada.org. Thank you for listening.